you know, if anybody ever says, oh, this Neville thing sounds like a cult, this is immediately what you can turn to as an explanation for why this is the farthest thing from what could any ever be described as a cult. Because any cult I've ever heard of requires transferring power to another. And Neville always teaches you that there is no one to change but self. There is no power outside of you. Welcome back to another episode of Daily Neville. I'm your host, Josiah Brandt, and Daily Neville is all about breaking down the teachings of Neville Goddard, making them easy to understand, easy to digest, easy to apply in 20 minutes or less. This is a special bonus episode of season two of Daily Neville, where I'm going to share a little bit of my own personal insights into this book, Prayer, the Art of Believing, that I wasn't necessarily able to surface in the daily episodes. I wanted to take the opportunity to add this bonus episode because there really is so much to this book, and only so much can be said in any particular video. So let's just go ahead and dive right into it. The first thing I want to talk about is the title, Prayer, the Art of Believing, What is Denied by the Senses. I noticed that when I put prayer in the titles of my videos, the click-through rate dropped substantially. And I think the reason for that is a lot of people don't want to hear about prayer. They want to hear about manifestation. They want to hear about law of attraction or law of assumption. But when you start using a religious term like prayer, a lot of people are instantly turned off. I get that. And also, the whole purpose of bringing these videos out is to really redefine and take back the power. Take back the power over this word, prayer, which has been misinformed by misguided people for countless generations. It's time to retake the power. And do we continue to use the word prayer? Maybe we can surrender and come up with a better word. But for right now, it is important that at the very minimum, we put the proper definition on this word prayer. Prayer is an art of believing what is denied by the senses. That's basically, can I look out at my world and see, using my senses, interact with, using my senses, something a certain way? And can I persuade my consciousness to view it another way? This flies directly in the face of pretty much everything that we are taught from our youngest years. When we are born onto this planet, we come in not really having any context for what is happening around us. Everything that we are given in terms of context is inherited. Most of it comes from our parents. A lot of it comes from the world around us. A lot of it comes from people in positions of authority, such as teachers, whether that be in religious traditions or whether that be in traditional educational systems, such as school systems. We are taught basically to interpret the evidence of our senses as being the true reality. And a lot of people in the comments of the sections of my videos, I've noticed a lot of people say, why weren't we taught this from day one? Well, here's a very simple answer for you. The truth of why you are not taught this from day one is because humanity simply hasn't graduated to that level yet. That being said, it is changing every day. Humanity as a species is evolving every single day. And we have the opportunity to begin to teach this to our children from day one. But it all starts with incorporating understanding of it for ourselves first. Now, I want to talk a little bit about this idea of prayer. So prayer, the art of believing what is denied by the senses. It is not asking an external being for some sort of benevolence or some sort of gift or some sort of blessing. Actually, it has nothing to do with anything outside of you at all. And that's one of the things about Neville's teachings that I find so compelling. Neville never tells you ever to look to another as a source of your power. And this also immediately, you know, if anybody ever says, oh, this Neville thing sounds like a cult, this is immediately what you can turn to as an explanation for why this is the farthest thing from what could any ever be described as a cult. Because any cult I've ever heard of requires transferring power to another. And Neville always teaches you that there is no one to change but self. There is no power outside of you. It is only the power within you that you will ever turn to, because we are the source. Why would we ever look to the external world as the source when we know that we are the source? So Neville's teaching us that we are the source, that we are the power. And prayer, basically, if I were to really just simplify this and break it all the way down, prayer is the art of engaging with our source at the level of the template, the level of the ideal. Because when we're praying for something, all we're doing is we're seeing something that could be upgraded, that could be improved, or could be taken to a new level, closer to the ideal. And we're saying, I'm going to take what I'm seeing, I'm going to deny the evidence of my senses, and instead, I'm going to impress upon my consciousness an awareness of the ideal, because I understand that in a quantum entanglement to reality, my awareness of something impacts that something. And I have the opportunity to shift what is materialized in physical reality using my awareness. So if I can learn to essentially control my awareness at the template level, I can control material reality at the template level. Now, let's right as soon as I start saying controlling material reality, it is very important that we understand what the nature is of the game that we're playing. I and my father are one, but my father is greater than I. Neville talks about that being the subconscious. In truth, it is the source consciousness. And then we, piloting around these little human vessels for source consciousness, are in a limited form. My father is greater than I, but yet we're no different. We're not apart. We're not separate from, in a truest sense, our source. We are an embodiment of our source, but yet our source is greater than we are. So we're only ever seeing a small perspective on source at any given time. So what is prayer? Prayer at its core is changing the perspective on source that we are viewing at any given time. When we understand that we are truly living in an infinitely abundant universe, when we understand that all things exist, creation is finished, everything that could possibly be imagined exists. That's all things. All things exist. Creation is finished. When we understand that, we understand that we're actually just viewing one set of probabilities from an infinite set of variables. One set of probabilities from an infinite set of variables. We have the opportunity to be the variable. I can be the variable using my awareness. I can choose to become aware of a different set of probabilities. Now, Neville is famous for making this sound easy. He's famous for making it sound easy. Now, I'm not going to tell you that it's hard, but I will tell you that most people, a lot of people, struggle with it. Why? Goes back to this idea of how we've been trained. We've been told from day one that the source of our reality is outside of us. A lot of us were taught from day one that what we view or interact with our senses is true reality. So to absorb this new understanding of prayer, we actually have to fly in the face of everything that we've been taught, basically our programming from human society, the society in which we're living and grew up in. So we actually have to go against that programming or counter that programming to choose a different way of being. Now, Neville, again, makes this sound really easy. For a lot of people, going against the source of their programming isn't that easy. And to a lot of people who have no idea what a quantum entanglement philosophy is, this sounds crazy, because to a lot of people, the only source of reality is what they can interact with their senses. A lot of people don't understand the astral realm. A lot of people don't understand, or perhaps don't even have any interest in understanding, spiritual dimensions. A lot of people don't understand what the source code of reality is. A lot of people don't have any interest in exploring these ideas. But for those of us that do, we are playing at a different level of the game. And it's very important that we understand that. Not everybody's playing at this level. And we don't need to have any investment on whether a so-called other plays at this level or not. Because really, in truth, there is no other. There's simply people. There's simply source consciousness playing the part of people. So source consciousness is just playing multiple parts. So we don't have to actually be invested in the parts that source consciousness chooses to play in others, aside from choosing the ideal and choosing to embody the ideal for ourselves. So this, I hope that this simplifies a little bit, this idea of prayer. And I want to talk a little bit about what the ultimate application is. So Neville, he's talking about in the final chapter, the ultimate prayer. And he's talking about the ultimate prayer, the ultimate thing that you can become aware of or state that you could connect to and become aware of is that of Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is the ideal. So if we understand that there's a template of the maximum self-actualization of God or source consciousness or the divine or I am in the form of being human, if we understand that there's a template, then it totally makes sense. It logically follows that we would aspire. If we're aspiring at all, we would aspire to embody that template. And really, quite simply, that's what Neville is saying. He says, look, if you're going to pray for something, pray for the ideal. And praying is becoming. So if you're going to become something, become the ideal. Don't go halfway. Don't give a half measure. Go the full way. Give a full measure and literally connect to and become the ideal. Now, what is it about this ideal energy that is so important? I'm just going to plant this seed here. I'm not going to go all the way into it, but I'm just going to plant this seed. When you connect to a template that is an ideal, basically what that does is you are transcending your imagined limitations. You're transcending your imagined limitations. So each of us on some level is imagining limitations for who we are or who we could become or what the world is or what the world could become, so-called others, et cetera, and so forth. We're all living in a world of perceived, imagined limitations. And truthfully, none of them are real. There is no real limitation. All of them on some level are imagined. Some of them are depend on others. So it's you know, if this limitation is perceived as real, that also means these other limitations would be perceived as real, if that makes sense. Some of them are kind of cascading in that way. But none of them are truly real, because in reality, really nothing and everything is real all at once. But that's a conversation for another time. The ideal enables us to connect to the source code version of whatever it is that we desire. And when we understand that, and when we are assuming a state of being through prayer, praying without ceasing, praying being a way of being, when we're assuming a state of being through prayer, and we're choosing to pray in the ideal, because you're not really praying for something, you're praying in something, you're believing something in, that's prayer, believing it in, shifting your awareness to the point where you become aware that it's a reality, and then reality makes it a reality. Reality responds to your awareness. That's the quantum entanglement philosophy. So when you're praying in the ideal, there are energies associated with that ideal at the template level, at the divine source code level, the fundamental programming of reality. There's energies associated with that. And when you're praying in the ideal, you're awakening these. You're awakening these energies. Now, here's the thing. Neville was trained in esoteric mystery schools. He was trained in mystery schools, some of them being under the tutelage of Abdullah. There's also other schools that he went to that I'll share more about in future episodes. But Neville was a student of mystery schools, as is and was most major figures in human history. I'll let that sink in for a minute. Pretty much, if you look back throughout history, most major figures in human history who really achieved something that we remember them for in a state, most of them on some level were trained in esoteric mystery schools. Neville was too. Neville just brought it to the masses. Daily Neville, in this work that we're doing here right now, brings it to the masses. It's time, you know, there was a time when these ideas were best kept behind locked doors because the world wasn't ready for them. And that time is now over. The time is now past. We've graduated from that era of suppression. And now it's time to emerge. And to educate and to become and to be. And that's the paradigm that we are now living in. So this work with Daily Neville, and I appreciate you coming back and watching the episodes over and over again, like so many of you do. This work with Daily Neville is just the beginning. It's the beginning of awakening these ideas at a level that is accessible and relatable to all. And if it's changing you in some level, if it's affecting you, if you feel like it's an upgrade in some level, share it. Share it with someone else that you feel could gain value from it. While we don't have to be invested in how another receives it, if we are inspired to share it, that's a gift that we can give. It's giving it without attachment to the outcome. So it's like, okay, if you share this and the person doesn't get it, they're not into it, cool, you leave it there and continue to pursue your own growth. But if they're into it, you just planted an amazing seed that changes lives and the ripple effects go on for forever. So that's essentially what I wanted to communicate here in this bonus episode of Daily Neville. Stay tuned because season 3 is coming very, very soon. I'm already working on it now. And I look forward to getting that coming your way very, very soon. And until next time, my friends, imagine wisely. And I'll see you again very soon.